Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, The Undertaker, Kane. We all remember these famous faces from the Attitude Era, mostly because as wrestling fans, we shall never stop talking about this period. We demand it returns, and we demand it right now. This doesn't mean that a fair few characters were utterly lost in the shuffle, either because they only showed up for a cup of coffee, or because they just weren't very good. So I'm Simon from What Culture, please do subscribe, and this is 20 WWE Attitude Era Superstars You Forgot Existed. Number 20, Tom Brandy. In true Attitude Era fashion, as soon as the time was right, Tom Brandy shifted across and started using his real name after he had been portrayed as Salvatore Sincere in the Everyone Must Have a Gimmick in the WWF mid-90s. Given what was going on back then, Mark Mero was also allowed to point at Brandy and tell him he was a jobber, and that's a quote, and if you want to see his highlight, head to the 1998 Royal Rumble. There he was beaten up by both Terry Funk and Mick Foley before being thrown over the top rope, and he was out the door by April. Could we have done more with Tom? Absolutely, but he was too badly affected when somebody prior to all of this called him Salvatore. Number 19, Southern Justice. There's so many stories like this is going to become a theme throughout, but again, as reality became the focus of the World Wrestling Federation, ideas like two pig farmers competing in the squared circle had to go. So in 1998, once more, Henry O. Godwin and Phineas I. Godwin, which yes stood for hog and pig, repackaged themselves as Jeff Jarrett's goons named Southern Justice. They also had a manager in the form of Tennessee Lee, and hey, this wasn't a bad transformation at all. Wasn't all too dissimilar to what the APA was going to be doing, and when they were allowed, they kicked the crap out of people for money. Sadly, the fact they were affiliated with Slop didn't help, and even today, no one remembers these guys. You remember them herding cattle, whatever else they were meant to do in their spare time. Number 18, Scott Putski. Son of WWE great Ivan Putski, Scott likely thought he was destined for good things under Vince McMahon. I mean, he had the heritage and looked like Jason Momoa and Brendan Fraser rolled into one. On paper, it wasn't too bad. Putski was part of the light heavyweight scene in late 1997, and we all know how that goes, and given that Scott couldn't even get in the tournament to crown a champ, didn't look good. He was able to feud with Brian Christopher for a little bit, and his dad even came in for a short run, so we could do the whole family versus family thing alongside Jerry Lawler. After a match at In Your House Ground Zero, he was done though, and he had one final run in WCW before it closed. After that, I don't know. Number 17, Kevin Quinn. Somebody in the comments will pretend that they recall Kevin Quinn, but I don't believe them. There is just no way. Mostly used as a fill-in for Scotty Too Hotty when he got injured and Brian Christopher needed a partner, they wrestled a few matches on Shotgun Saturday Night before that idea was scrapped. Quinn then did a few things on Sunday Night Heat, but his grand total of bouts was 7, and 2 of those were off-camera. Kevin never made it to Raw either, and even though he will have some stories today, because he often fought the likes of Edge of the Hardys, it never got above this level. But was he part of the Attitude Era in the sense he was on the books? You bet your ass. Number 16, Aguila. If you love Sunday Night Heat, you will remember S.A. Rios, and of course Lita. But before that, did you know Mr. Rios was also Papi Chulo, and naturally Aguila? The amount of names we had for this guy. Unlike our friend Scott Putski, Aguila was in the aforementioned light heavyweight tournament in 1997, and he was a challenger at WrestleMania 14 for the title winner Takamishu Noku. That was the last thing he did before transforming into S.A. Rios, and really, that gave him some real legs. He even had a short run with Kurt Angle. While he didn't go much further than this, however, do go and watch that Taka match. Even today is really good. They were ahead of their time. Number 15, Pantera. Sadly, this was nothing to do with the band, Pantera. I mean, WCW had the Kiss Demon, so you just never know. In short, it was just another guy that WWF brought in as they tried to make their light heavyweight division mean something. As was always the way in 1998, he eventually had a match with Takumi Shinoku, this time at In Your House No Way Out, Texas. And if you're a stats fiend, this was one of the 17 bouts he worked under Vince McMahon. Pantera was able to get on Raw, which is not true for some on this list, and amazingly, despite being 57 years old right now, he is still wrestling. Number 14, Golga. Golga loved South Park. If that doesn't date his appearance, I don't know what does. To tie in with the sheer explosion of Matt and Trey Stone's cartoon, though, the WWF had Golga wear Cartman merchandise whenever they could, but it's the piece of trivia behind this which blows everybody's mind, and that is beneath the mask, it was Earthquake, he of the Natural Disasters fame. I've no idea why we felt the need to hide this, because John Tenta was a recognizable dude, especially in the WWF, and all he really did during this venture was wave to the crowd and sing along with his fellow oddities. It was kinda silly. It may have tied into the fact Tenta had lost a load of weight so wasn't as intimidating, but come on, this is all you could come up with? A dude that likes smelling people's trainers? And I didn't make that up, by the way. That's what he was told to do. Number 13, Dick Togo. Everybody loved Kantai. Sort of. I mean, they did try and chop Val Venus's penis off, but thankfully, they didn't. While stories like that stole the headlines, everybody forgot that Dick Togo was in this group. If you listen to Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard 2, you'll know there's every chance his name was a rib, because of course, you could read it as Dick Togo if you wanted, but hey, you should only do that if you're 10 years old. It's a shame we discussed that for as long as we did too, because Dick was alright during the late 90s. He had a handicap match at Over the Edge in 1998 as Kai and Tai took on Takamishu Nuku and Bradshaw, and I tell ya, it is more than watchable. Number 12, Men's Tai-O. Following on from that, let's get some love for the rest of Kai and Tai 2. The second version featured Yamaguchi-san, Dick Togo, Takumi Shinoku, Sho Funaki, and Men's Tai-O, and no one ever talks about Men's Tai-O. Another fine worker that got lost, Men's was likely the less flashy of the bunch, but that doesn't mean he was bad, not at all. Plus, he knew how to be ridiculous, which is always good in wrestling, be that with his fellow countrymen, or when he was Terry Boy in ECW. When he was down there, he was spoofing the BWO. He never really did that much in the ring, which was the problem. Men's wrestled about 16 matches throughout 1998 before deciding to go back to Japan, probably hoping someone would let him do his job. Number 11, Pierre. Ah, the Quebecers. They were a big deal in the early 90s, and one half of the team, PCO, is a mainstay of Ring of Honor these days, but his career has been pretty varied, especially when the Attitude Era was taking off. Carl Ouellette was dubbed Pierre in 1998, and while he mostly floated along, he was one of the guys chosen to be in the Brawl for All tournament. I doubt he wanted to do it, but he got him on TV, and then sadly he was knocked out in round one, courtesy of Dr. Death Steve Williams. He had a few more go-arounds after this, including being renamed Chris Cannonball, which sounds like we had jumped backwards a few years, and you never need to watch any of it. There's just nothing to it. Number 10, Barry Windham. Of course you remember Barry Windham. I mean, how can you not? He was so good, Ric Flair thinks he's one of the best ever, and that means something. You don't put garbage in the Four Horsemen. This is why when you learn that Windham was brought into the WWF in 1996 and dubbed the Stalker, you get confused. He was then thrown into the New Blackjacks alongside Bradshaw, we know how that goes, and it would be 2 years before he was allowed to be just flipping Barry Windham. I will say that he got a count-out victory over Owen Hart on Raw 1 week, but as ever, Vince McMahon couldn't help but put him and Bradshaw into a breakup feud, and as soon as that was done, he was booted out the door back to WCW. Honestly, what another waste. Number 9, Sniper. Never ever look up the Truth Commission. If you were basically a fetus like me when watching the Attitude Era, you likely didn't know what this was meant to represent, and when you find out, sheesh. When it does come to the group, though, we all do recognize Don Callis, we all know Kurgan, we all know Bull Buchanan, but no one talks about Sniper, who, for the record, never sniped anyone. Played by Luke Poirier, his pre-WWF gimmick was ripping off Sylvester Stallone's Rambo, which is actually a good idea, but as Vince McMahon was never going to go with that, they just went with something Rambo kinda did. Sometimes. I mean, he was more of a knife guy. He was in a difficult role too, because it was clear this posse was a vehicle to try and get Kurgan over, because he was massive, and when it didn't work, there was nowhere else to go. Number 8, Just Joe. Quick piece of trivia about Just Joe. He was one of my trainers early on in my wrestling career, so I thank him for that. He was very helpful.
He was also Just Joe in the WWF, where he would play a mega snitch. For some reason, Joe would approach other wrestlers backstage and inform them about other wrestlers who had been talking crap behind their back, which was obviously an easy way for the company to start feuds. Just send Joe. Played by Joe E. Legend, as ever this didn't go that long, and he was around for about a year before being released just shy of WrestleMania 17. After this though, seriously, go and check out what he did. It was a lot, and he did some acting to boot. He made the most of his freedom. Number 7, Barbara Bush. She soon becomes BB, because why not, and her whole role was to lose her clothes and show off her bra. Bush would also compete in bikini contests and gravy bowl matches, and even though I had to see one of these recently, I still don't get it. Why the flub is a bowl of gravy even there? Bubba Ray Dudley threw her through a table in February 2000 when he was doing that with the entire women's locker room. As it turned out, she was done after that. Headed to WCW, where she became Papaya and hung out with a guy called Kiwi. Number 6, Beaver Cleavage. I hate this. It is all that is wrong with wrestling in one character, and the most Vince Russo idea ever. However, when the Headbangers were done in 1999 and we needed something for each guy, Mosh was spun off into Beaver Cleavage, an adult male who enjoyed nothing more than, well, drinking his mother's breast milk. When everyone realized how bad this was, he was renamed Chaz. His mother was outed as his girlfriend, but even then, it was heavily implied he was beating her up, which was just so poorly handled. And thankfully, as soon as Thrasher was back from his injury, the team just started where they left off. But Beaver Cleavage, man, this is why I get upset when people want the Attitude Era back. Number 5, Mr. Hughes. You know who didn't like Mr. Hughes? Chris Jericho. Put together at the start of Y2J's WWF run, probably because somebody thought Jericho was too small, it just didn't work. For one, Hughes had dropped a load of weight since we last saw him, so didn't look as intimidating as he once did, and you could just tell that neither guy was into it. It only lasted a few months before creative killed this angle, and by that time even Howard Finkel was involved. That was strange. In one of his books, Jericho also claimed that Hughes fell asleep at ringside during one of his matches, which really is quite impressive. How the hell did he do that? Number 4, Meat. After he had left the WWF as Meat in 1999, he arrived in WCW a year later. In 2000, World Championship Wrestling headed over to the UK for some live events, and as soon as myself and a good friend saw the now Sean Stasiak, we began to chant, Meat. At that moment, he looked over towards us, and his face became a picture of sadness. I don't think I've ever forgiven myself. The question then is, what the hell was Meat? Well, he was teamed up with PMS, or Terry Runnels, Ryan Shamrock, and Jacqueline, and because he was meant to be a glorified sex toy, well, that's all I need to say. I think Vince McMahon must have hated Sean too, because when he returned in 2001, he was now Planet Stasiak, some weirdo that ran into the wall. I mean, what was even the point? Number 3, Key. Don't understand drug lingo? That's okay, because the WWF have had you covered when they introduced Key, which, yes, stands for Kilo. You also look like cocaine on legs? Awesome. How this actually happened during the Attitude Era, I don't know, but he was put with Droz and Prince Albert as they took on the Godfather, so it really was drugs versus sex workers. Under the powder too, this was Vic Grimes, and although he had one TV match on Shotgun Saturday Night, when the pimp got injured and no one knew what to do with Key, the whole thing was dropped. Man, it was bad. Number 2, Babu. A pretty offensive entry on this list. Babu, also known as Abu, also known as Pablo Marquez, was a light heavyweight guy who was also the backup for Tiger Ali Singh. Portrayed as a manservant, Babu barely did much of anything, aside from represent terribly xenophobic views that should have been left in the past. Hell, they never should have shown their face at all. You may remember him wrestling the likes of Al Snow and Goldust, where he got ruined, and he also teamed up with Singh to take on Kurgan and Luna Vachon on Heat in 1999. And if anybody goes and watches any of these now, what the hell are you doing? Number 1, Brakus. Ah, boy. Although Vince McMahon likely did a backflip when he saw German bodybuilder Brakus in 1996, the man himself was not too good at wrestling. It's also why, despite limited experience, he was thrown into the world too soon, because he had biceps, and even a trip to ECW for some help didn't work. He would send some threats to Vader and Triple H early on in the year, although we didn't see his first TV bout until 1998, which sums it up. If you care, that was against Goldust on Shotgun. Injuries hampered him a lot during this time, and as soon as everybody realized it wasn't going to click, he was gone.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.